Okay, so you know how you're always saying you feel like your data is less secure than a screen door on a submarine? Buckle up, because this deep dive is going to hit close to home. We're talking about the recent data breach at Community Health Center,
CHC.
CHC.
Yeah.
Over 1 million people affected.
Wow.
And this isn't just another headline. This
Right.
is about our personal information, potentially even yours, being compromised.
Yeah, and what's really unsettling is the lack of transparency surrounding this attack.
Right.
CHC has been very tight-lipped about how the hackers actually got in.
Yeah.
And this lack of information makes it difficult to gauge individual risk and for the healthcare industry as a whole to learn from this incident.
Right. It feels like a bit of a trust us, we're handling it situation, but shouldn't we know more in order to protect ourselves?
Absolutely.
And it's not just any data they lost either. We're talking names, birth dates, addresses, medical records, and
Yeah.
in some cases, even social security numbers.
And that's the scary part.
Yeah.
That combination of data is a goldmine for identity thieves.
Right.
We're talking about the potential for ruined credit scores, fraudulent medical bills, even having your identity stolen for medical care,
Wow.
which can lead to misdiagnosis or improper treatment down the line.
It's like a domino effect of awful consequences. And what really hit me was the fact that they also lost COVID-19 data. It's not just patients, but anyone who used CHC's COVID services is at risk. Vaccination records, testing details, insurance information,
Right.
all of that just floating out there.
It really underscores the fact that even seemingly unrelated data can be valuable to cyber criminals.
Right.
They can piece together these digital breadcrumbs
Sure.
to create these detailed profiles for targeted attacks and make their phishing attempts incredibly convincing.
Yeah.
Imagine receiving an email
Okay.
that looks exactly like it's from CHC,
Yeah.
asking you to verify your insurance details because of the breach. Would you be able to spot it as a fake?
Honestly, probably not. Especially with all the legitimate notifications going out about the breach, it's like the hackers are using this chaos to their advantage.
Exactly. They thrive in these environments.
Yeah.
But even beyond the immediate threat of scams,
Okay.
there are long-term risks to consider.
Okay.
The stolen data makes individuals bigger targets for future attacks.
Right.
This isn't just a one-time problem, it's an ongoing vulnerability.
So what did CHC do after discovering the breach? I mean, are they doing anything to mitigate these risks for people?
Well, to their credit, they acted quickly to contain the breach. They've implemented some cybersecurity upgrades, are offering free credit monitoring and identity theft protection to those whose social security numbers were compromised.
Okay.
And they publicly disclosed the breach, which is important for transparency.
That's something, I guess. But it feels a little bit like putting a band-aid on a bullet wound, doesn't it?
Well, there are some concerning gaps in their response. First, the lack of transparency about how the breach happened makes it difficult to assess the full extent of the damage
Yeah.
and whether they've actually fixed the underlying issue.
Right.
Second, there's simply no way to know if the stolen data is already circulating on the dark web or being actively used.
It feels like we're in a reactive mode cleaning up the mess after it's already been made. But is there a way to be more proactive?
Absolutely. And that's what's so frustrating about this situation. There are steps individuals can take to protect themselves, and there are measures healthcare organizations can take to improve their cybersecurity posture.
Okay.
We need to shift the focus from reaction to prevention.
So let's shift gears. Let's empower ourselves with some knowledge. What can we as individuals do to stay ahead of these threats? What practical steps can we take right now to protect ourselves? We've talked about the CHC breach, and you know how it highlights these really real risks of data breaches in healthcare.
Right.
So let's get practical. What can we as individuals do to protect ourselves?
Well, the good news is that there are steps you can take, even if you weren't directly affected by this breach.
Okay.
Think of it as proactive digital self-defense.
Digital self-defense. Okay, I like that. What are our first moves?
Start with the basics. Monitor your accounts like a hawk.
Okay.
That means regularly checking your bank statements, credit card transactions, and insurance claims. For anything that seems off, the new report any suspicious activity immediately.
Okay. Vigilance is key. Got it. Anything else?
Yeah, consider freezing or locking your credit reports.
Okay.
This puts a barrier up against anyone trying to open new accounts in your name.
Okay.
You can contact the three major credit bureaus to do this: Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion.
Now, you mentioned freezing and locking. Is there a difference?
There is. A fraud alert flags your account for potential fraud.
Okay.
requiring creditors to take extra steps to verify your identity before opening a new account.
Okay.
A credit freeze, on the other hand, completely blocks access to your credit report.
Uh-huh.
It's more secure. But it also means that you'll need to temporarily lift the freeze if you want to apply for credit yourself.
So a fraud alert is a yellow light. A credit freeze is a hard stop.
Got it.
Right.
What about those phishing scams we talked about? How can we avoid falling for them, especially now that hackers have even more personal data to weaponize?
Right. Be skeptical of any unsolicited emails, texts, or phone calls asking for personal information, especially if they claim to be from CHC or other healthcare providers.
Yeah.
Double check the sender's email address or phone number.
Okay.
Don't click links or open attachments unless you're absolutely certain they're legitimate.
So even if an email looks like it's from someone I know, it's better to double check than click blindly.
Always. If you have even a shred of doubt, contact the organization directly using verified contact information from their official website or a trusted source.
Okay.
Remember, a legitimate organization will never pressure you into revealing sensitive information over email or phone.
Okay, moving on. Passwords. I know they're important, but I'm terrible at remembering them. You're not alone. That's why a password manager is such a valuable tool.
Okay.
It generates and stores unique, complex passwords for all your accounts.
Right.
So you only have to remember one master password.
Okay. I've been meaning to try one of those. Anything else I should be doing password-wise?
Yes. Enable multi-factor authentication wherever possible.
Okay.
This adds an extra layer of security by requiring you to enter a code from your phone or email in addition to your password.
Right.
It makes it much harder for hackers to access your accounts, even if they have your password.
So it's like a double lock on your digital doors.
Got it.
What else should we have in our digital self-defense toolkit?
Think about identity theft protection services.
Okay.
These services monitor your credit reports, bank accounts, and other personal information for signs of fraud.
Right.
And alert you if anything suspicious pops up.
Okay.
Some services will even help you resolve identity theft if it does occur.
It's like having a digital detective on your side. I like it. Anything else?
This one might take some effort, but consider removing your personal information from the internet.
What?
There are companies called data brokers that collect and sell your data.
Okay.
Making it easier for scammers and hackers to target you.
Wait, what? Data brokers? So even if I'm careful about what I share online, these companies are collecting my info anyway?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh.
You can use data removal services to opt out of these data brokers.
Okay.
And make it harder for them to find and exploit your information.
Right.
It's not a perfect solution.
Yeah.
But it's a step in the right direction.
So much for feeling anonymous in the digital age. It sounds like we as individuals have a lot on our plate. Is there anything else we can be doing, or is it all on us to navigate this digital minefield?
You're right. The burden shouldn't fall solely on individuals. We can and should demand better from the institutions entrusted with our data.
Okay.
Healthcare providers in particular need to step up their cybersecurity game.
So where do they start? I mean, besides just, you know, not getting hacked in the first place.
Of course, that's the ideal. But it's easier said than done. There are a few key areas where healthcare organizations are lagging behind.
Like what?
Stronger cybersecurity measures are a must.
Okay.
Firewalls, intrusion detection systems, up-to-date antivirus software.
Right.
These are the foundation. But many healthcare organizations, especially smaller ones, are lagging behind.
You would think with all the sensitive data they handle, it would be a top priority. Why is that not the case?
Resources are a big factor. Cybersecurity can be expensive. And many healthcare organizations simply don't have the budget to invest in robust security measures.
So it's a matter of funding. What else is holding them back?
The complexity of healthcare IT systems plays a role.
Right.
Hospitals and clinics rely on a vast array of interconnected systems.
Yeah.
Making it difficult to implement and manage cybersecurity effectively.
Oh, okay. I get it. It's complex and expensive. But what about the human factor? I mean, we hear about employee error all the time.
You're absolutely right. Human error is a huge factor in data breaches. That's why comprehensive cybersecurity training for all employees is crucial.
Okay.
From doctors and nurses to administrative staff,
They
need to understand the risks, how to identify potential threats.
Right.
And what to do if they suspect a breach.
So it's not just about the tech, it's about the people using it.
Exactly. And training is just one piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
Organizations need to implement strong security policies and procedures.
Right.
Like mandatory password complexity requirements, two-factor authentication for all sensitive systems, and regular security audits to identify and address vulnerabilities.
So it's a multi-layered approach, technology, training policies, and procedures. But even with all of that in place, there's still no guarantee, right? Hackers are always finding new ways to exploit weaknesses.
That's the unfortunate truth. Yeah. No system is 100% foolproof.
Right.
That's why incident response planning is so important.
Okay.
Organizations need to have a plan in place for what to do if a breach does occur. This includes steps to contain the breach, assess the damage, notify affected individuals, and restore compromised systems.
Uh-huh.
The faster and more effectively they can respond, the less severe the impact.
So they need to have a plan of attack for when they're attacked, so to speak. But what about a more proactive approach? What role can the government play in improving cybersecurity in the healthcare industry? Can they step in and set some standards?
Absolutely. The government has a crucial role to play in setting standards, providing guidance, and enforcing regulations.
Okay.
We've seen some progress with HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act,
right,
which sets some basic standards for protecting patient health information.
Okay, so HIPAA is already in place. Is that enough, or is there more that can be done?
HIPAA is a good starting point,
okay,
but it's often criticized for being outdated and not keeping pace with the evolving threat landscape.
Right.
We need stronger regulations that address emerging threats, like ransomware and cloud security.
Okay.
The government can also play a role in providing resources and funding,
right,
to help healthcare organizations implement these stronger measures.
So updated regulations, more funding. Is there anything else the government could be doing to incentivize healthcare organizations to prioritize cybersecurity?
Perhaps a system of incentives and penalties tied to their cybersecurity performance.
Okay.
Organizations that demonstrate strong practices could be eligible for tax breaks or grants.
Okay.
While those that repeatedly fail to meet basic standards could face fines.
This sort of carrot and stick approach. I like it, but it feels like there's a missing piece here. What about the tech companies? I mean, they're the ones building the software and systems that are often the target of these attacks.
Mm.
Don't they have a responsibility here too?
They absolutely do. Tech companies need to prioritize security in the design and development of their products and services.
Okay.
We need more secure operating systems, more robust encryption, and better tools for detecting and preventing attacks.
Right.
And just as importantly, they need to work closely with healthcare organizations to ensure their products are properly implemented and configured.
So it's a collaborative effort. Individuals taking steps to protect themselves, healthcare organizations upping their security game, the government setting standards and providing support, and tech companies building more secure products. Everyone needs to be pulling in the same direction.
Exactly. Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility.
Right.
We all have a role to play, from individuals to organizations to government agencies to tech companies.
Okay.
We need to be proactive, not reactive.
We can't just sit back and wait for the next breach to happen. We need to be prepared.
So are there any solutions out there that give you hope? Anything on the horizon that you think could really move the needle in the right direction? It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all of this. You know, like, we're constantly playing catch up with the bad guys.
Yeah.
But are there any new tools or technologies that give you hope? Anything that could really change the game in our favor?
There are some incredibly promising advancements happening right now.
Okay.
One that's particularly exciting is the use of artificial intelligence in cybersecurity. AI, like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It might sound futuristic, but AI is already playing a significant role.
Okay.
Imagine a security system that's constantly learning and adapting,
getting
smarter every time it encounters a new threat. That's what AI-powered threat detection is all about.
So it's not just reacting to known threats, it's anticipating new ones.
Exactly. AI can analyze massive amounts of data, identify patterns that humans might miss, and flag suspicious activity in real time.
Wow.
It's like having a digital detective constantly monitoring your systems for any signs of trouble.
And wouldn't that free up human security analysts to focus on more complex issues?
Absolutely. AI can automate many routine security tasks.
Okay.
Like patching vulnerabilities, filtering spam, and even responding to basic security incidents.
Right.
This frees up human experts to focus on the threats that require human intuition and judgment.
That makes sense. But what about something like blockchain? I know it's the technology behind Bitcoin, but how does it apply to healthcare cybersecurity?
Blockchain has the potential to be a game changer for data security in healthcare. Think of it as an unbreakable digital ledger.
Okay.
Because of its decentralized and immutable nature, Any data stored on a blockchain is incredibly difficult to tamper with.
So instead of having all our data in one central database that's vulnerable to attack, it's distributed across a network, making it much harder to hack.
Exactly. One really promising application is in securing electronic health records.
Okay.
Imagine a system where your medical data is stored on a blockchain.
Right.
Giving you more control over your own information and making it virtually impossible for hackers to alter or steal it.
That would be incredible. No more worrying about massive data breaches exposing millions of records. But what about the practical side of things? Is blockchain really scalable enough to handle the massive amounts of data in the healthcare system?
That's one of the challenges that still needs to be addressed.
Okay.
But the technology is advancing rapidly, and there are already some promising pilot projects underway.
That's good to hear.
Another interesting application is in securing medical devices, which are increasingly becoming targets for cyber attacks.
You mean like pacemakers or insulin pumps?
Yes. These devices are often connected to the internet, which makes them vulnerable to hacking.
Right.
Blockchain can create a secure and transparent record of device activity, making it much easier to detect and prevent tampering.
That sounds crucial, especially as we rely more and more on connected medical devices. But with all these technological advancements, are we just setting ourselves up for a new kind of arms race with the hackers?
It's a valid concern. Cybersecurity is a constant cat and mouse game. But the good news is that we're not just playing defense, we're also developing new offensive strategies.
Like what?
One area that's particularly exciting, albeit a bit daunting, is quantum computing.
Okay.
While still in its early stages, quantum computing has the potential to break many of the encryption algorithms that we rely on today to secure our data.
So this super powerful technology could actually make us less secure.
It's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, quantum computing poses a serious threat to current encryption methods.
Okay.
But on the other hand, it also has the potential to create new, even more powerful encryption algorithms that are resistant to quantum attacks.
So it's a race against time to develop these quantum-resistant encryption methods before the bad guys get there first.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
But I believe we're up to the challenge. The key is to stay ahead of the curve, to invest in research and development, and to foster collaboration between industry, government, and academia. We need everyone working together to stay one step ahead of the threats.
It all comes back to that shared responsibility we talked about earlier.
Right.
But it can feel so overwhelming sometimes. It's like no matter what we do, the bad guys are always going to be right behind us.
I understand that feeling, but I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
We're getting smarter, more aware, and more proactive about cybersecurity.
Yeah.
The CHC breach and others like it have served as wake-up calls, reminding us that data security is not just an IT issue. It's a fundamental human issue.
It's about protecting our health, our finances, our identities, and our peace of mind.
Exactly. And as long as we continue to prioritize security, to invest in innovation, and to work together, I believe we can create a future where our data is truly safe and secure.
I hope you're right. This has been an eye-opening deep dive into the world of healthcare cybersecurity. It's clear that the threats are real and the stakes are high, but it's also clear that we're not powerless. We have the tools, the knowledge, and the collective will to fight back.
And fight back we must, because the future of our health and well-being depends on it.
Well said. To our listeners, we leave you with this knowledge is power. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay proactive in protecting your data, because in the end, cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.